TN Chat, Episode 22, for Monday, October 6th, 2008. Hello everybody and welcome to TN Chat, episode 22. This week I am trying another tea from Wishart of Chelsea, the last of the teas that Suzanne brought back from her trip to Edinburgh. I'll also be recommending a film after the tea. There is no interview this week, but I do have one lined up for next week, so look forward to a nice long chat in a week's time. Right, so I'm going to go and put the kettle on so I can try this tea. It's called Cinnamon and Orange Rooibos Tea, and it's by Wishart of Chelsea. You know, I really should get some kind of, I don't know, sponsorship deal from the guys over at Wishart, because I must have tried, I don't know, 6 of their teas at this stage. I've liked most of them. Anyway, I'm going to go and put the kettle on, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to play you a promo for the Ask a Ninja Handbook audiobook version. Now, lots of you out there will know what Ask a Ninja is, and most of you may be aware of the fact that very, very recently, the Ask a Ninja handbook was released on Amazon.com. What some of you may not be aware of is that there is actually an audio podiobook version available on podiobooks.com. Now, there's only 2 episodes up so far, if I remember correctly, but it is absolutely awesome, and it's very, very funny. And really, really well put together, I have to say. It sounds great. So definitely worth checking out if you've enjoyed the Ask a Ninja videos. Even if you own the handbook already, this is the perfect companion for the handbook. And if you don't own the handbook already, this will probably persuade you to go out and pick up a copy. It's just fantastic. So I'm going to put the kettle on now, and I'll be back in about 2 minutes with a cup of cinnamon and orange rooibos tea from Wishart. Back in 2.
Available now on podiobooks.com.
What is up? I got a ninja handbook. But first, let me tell you a little bit about me. Then I'll tell you a little bit about the book. A little bit about me? I'm awesome. A little bit about the book? It's awesome. I should tell them more, probably. Okay. I'm really, really, really awesome. I'm a ninja from askaninja.com. If you're on the webernet, maybe you've come across me. Shouting. First actual ninja to reach out to the world from the International Order of Ninjas. Every week I'm dropping serious ninja science, but there's so much about the ninja world, I had to write a book. It's kind of like the Boy Scout manual, but for ninjas. Instead of learning about orienteering, you learn about disorienteering. Instead of learning about conservation, we teach you how to be kill-servation minded. It's full of all kinds of ninja exercises and stuff that you can actually do. Got pictures, not just pictures of me. There are plenty of those, though. But also pictures of big beasts that ninjas fight all the time, like a Giggle-Kiss dragon or a Bark. It's a half-bear, half-shark. If you don't believe how awesome this book is, first of all, I'm gonna kill you. Secondly, go check it out at askaninjabook.com. There's a free audio version of the book, and you'll be like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. I gotta go get this thing, because you can't see pictures in an audiobook, you know, because your ears can't see very well. Buy it now, please. Come here. Do you realize that for just pennies a day, you could sponsor your very own ninja handbook, but you have to give us all the pennies on the same day, and it's gonna be several handfuls of them. And you might have to also give us some pennies for sales tax or shipping and handling, depending on where you sponsor your handbook from. Check it out! AskAninjaBook.com. Don't let Sally Struthers eat another book.
Okay, and we're back. And I have a cup of rather cinnamony-smelling tea. Now, according to the pack, you can try this with milk as well, but I'm actually going to go for it black, essentially, without any milk or sugar or honey. It's a very cold day, actually, here. It's a crisp, cold, clear day. Very, very wintry and Christmassy feeling. So this is actually probably the reason why I picked this tea out of the box to give it a go. And it smells lovely. It smells very warm and rich and cinnamony. So without further ado, I'm going to try some now. Yeah. There's really not that much to it. It's very subtle. Or, to rephrase slightly, it's kind of bland. There's a little bit of cinnamoniness to it, but really it's just kind of warm, watery tea. Tastes a little bit like a lot of, you know, mixed blend black teas with just a tiny, tiny hint of cinnamon, but nowhere near as much taste as you'd expect from the smell. It's not unpleasant, but really, I don't really see the point. It's very, very bland. It's hardly worth the effort, really. It does smell nice, and maybe I'm just not picking up on the subtleties of flavours here, but really, not doing it for me. Not doing it for me at all. I mean, it might taste nicer with milk, but the only thing I can think of is the milk is going to smooth out and deaden any cinnamoniness that's here at all. So it would taste like pretty much like ordinary black tea. Oh well, can't win them all, Whittard, not to worry. Oh well. So, let's talk film recommendation. Now, last week, those of you who are listening will remember that I was talking to Christiana Ellis and several animated films came up. Most notably, The Grave of the Fireflies film, which I admitted was a film that made me get a little emotional and pushed me close to the weepy side of things. Well, last week, whilst I was up in Dublin, I went to see The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. Now, this is a film based on a book of the same name, written by an Irish author called John Boyne, and it was released in 2005, I think. But I had never actually read the book, and all I really knew was that it was about a German kid and his meeting with a boy in a concentration camp. And that was all I had. You know, I knew that that was what the book was about, but I'd never had cause to come across it in a bookshelf. So I'd never actually even seen a copy of it, let alone picked one up and read it. But anyway, where do I start talking about this film? From a technical point of view, it is marvellous. There is some wonderful, wonderful camera work here. The acting quality is very high. The principal characters are very, very enjoyable to watch, but some of the emotional work is astonishing in this film. And it's not cheesy, over-the-top emotional work in a lot of places either. It's stomach-kickingly subtle and real and down-to-earth. There are some beautiful pieces of this film, some nice scenery shots, but a lot of it is very grey, very dull, very harsh. And I guess in perfect fitting with the, you know, the subject of the film. Now, I don't want to go in spoiling the film and telling you a lot about what's going to happen and that sort of thing. But the film basically, as in the book, the film starts with the young 8-year-old boy, Bruno, who is the son of a commandant in charge of a concentration camp. Now, we know this concentration camp is Auschwitz, but they don't actually play that up, which was something I found very, very nice. They don't do a flyby of the concentration camp and, you know, pass over a sign that says Auschwitz and do a kind of a dun-dun-dun. No. They handled this really subtly. They never mentioned the name of the camp. In fact, there's an awful lot missing from this film that one might expect from a less delicate handling. We don't get Hitler turning up or parading up and down. We don't see too many German soldiers. We don't see, for most of the film, we don't see much of the camp either. And yet, this is probably one of the most moving films dealing with this subject matter that I have ever seen. The relationship between the two boys is very, very interesting to watch as Bruno slowly begins to realize. I mean, he's a very innocent kid, which I found interesting for the son of a high-ranking military official. He's a very innocent kid and doesn't seem to get it. But then he is very young. I'm not sure if an 8-year-old child would have been quite as well informed as maybe a 14-year-old child who was getting a lot more education in school. But watching him slowly realize the difference between his life and the life in a concentration camp, I mean, he doesn't get it for most of this film. And his mother gets it. His mother suddenly realizes what's going on. And she starts to fall apart. But he carries on, oblivious to a whole pile of the horror, right the way up until the end of the film. Now, I don't want to talk about the end of the film. It's... you have to see it. You really have to actually just see the film. If you're in the United States, you will probably, your first chance to get to see this film will be at the Heartland Film Festival on the 16th of October. Otherwise, you will have to wait until the sort of 7th of November or the 14th of November for a wider release in the States. But it's already available in the UK and Ireland, and parts of Europe are coming on stream already. I think it's not going to turn up in Germany until next year, but it'll probably be out on DVD at that stage. But this is a film that you absolutely have to see. This film is astonishing and powerful and emotionally and psychologically draining. Now, I don't want to talk about the end, I said that already, but I want to talk about the experience in the cinema at the end of the film. Now, there were about, I don't know, it was a very early screening on Sunday morning before I was due to come back home to Cork. And there would have been about 20 people in the cinema, give or take, very early, I mean midday kind of screening. And when the last few scenes of the film, well, really the last scene of the film, it's sort of silent. And the entire cinema was silent. Now, I don't know if you're like me, I have a tendency to sit to the ends of credits sometimes. Particularly if it's a film where there's an extra scene at the end, or there might be, like the Marvel superhero films where you hold on to see if there's something interesting at the end. It was very, very obvious to everyone in the cinema that the film was over. And when the credits started to run, nobody moved. Not a single person in the cinema moved. The cinema was completely and utterly silent until about halfway through the credits, when a couple of people who are a couple of rows in front of myself got up slowly and left. They were a boyfriend-girlfriend coupling, and needless to say, at least one of them was in tears. I myself was in tears, as was Suzanne, and I wouldn't be surprised if the rest of the cinema were the same. And this isn't outright bawling, wailing tears. This is stunned, shocked, exhausted tears. I wasn't upset the whole way through the film until the last 2-3 minutes. And it is exceptionally rare that a film can do that to me. I don't tend to get overly emotional very easily at a lot of films. But this film, it hit me hard, really hard. So, aside from the emotional end of it, it is a very, very good film. The acting is great, as I've said. Cinematography is great. It's really well done. It's really well handled. You know, any historical inaccuracies are irrelevant. That's not what this film is about. But as an emotional piece, it is one of the strongest I have ever seen. And whilst I am still upset, thinking back of it now as I'm talking to you, I'm getting upset, which is, yeah, well, you have to see this film. And as much as I would want to go and see this film again, and I think one day I will, I'm just not ready yet. Anyway, that's the film recommendation for this week. The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. If you're able to see it in October at the Heartland Film Festival, you should do so. If not, you'll have to wait until November. It's currently available in a lot of other places, so if you want to check the links on the website. But go see this in the cinema, incidentally. If any of you are thinking of acquiring a copy in advance, legal stuff aside, I don't recommend it. I feel quite strongly that you have to go and see this in a theatre. That's how you have to go and see this. So, anyway, that's it for me for this week. I know it's a short enough episode, but next week I will have an interview for you with Nathan Lowell, who is the author of the absolutely marvelous Quarter Share, Half Share, Full Share, and South Coast novels. They're great. I mean, they really are. The Trader's Tales, they're just fantastic. They're some of my favourite patio books, and it's a real honour to get a chance to talk to Nathan Lowell himself. But in the meantime, look after yourselves, and I will talk to you next week with more tea, more chat, and probably more film reviews. Alrighty, have a good week, everybody, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Music for this podcast provided by Amplifico. Available on the Podsafe Music Network. Visit music.podshow.com.